Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, amen, amen. Father, unto you be all the glory and honor and praise for the great things you have done for us and the greater things that we are yet to see. Thank you, Father, that is your desire to take us from glory to glory. As we behold the beauty of your face, as we wait upon you, as we feed from your presence, Father, continue to empower us, continue to teach us, continue to guide us, continue to lead us daily, especially in these last days. Father, help us to grow in truth and in righteousness, in holiness and in the fear of the Lord. Father, thank you so much for the hunger you put in all our hearts. You continue to feed us with righteousness. Thank you for everyone on this line tonight. May you share something with us that will help us, empower us, encourage us, revive us, oh God, and provoke us to continuously wait upon you. To you be all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you all so much for being on the line tonight. God is faithful. God is good. And we just continue to serve him relentlessly by his grace. Thank God so much for our Mama Ebele and our leader on this prayer line for just the amazing leadership example that she is to all of us, and all the SLPN leaders and willing women on the line. Thank you. God bless you so much. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, we just want to continue again learning and sharing together. But I believe the Spirit of the Lord who wants to share something very, a little bit, is to encourage us, but mostly, especially with the level of commitment and sacrifice that you all give in the area of prayer, and the sustaining grace that is upon your life. And sometimes, these years of waiting and seeking and waiting and seeking, and sometimes we're wondering how long do we wait, or just the various questions. Tonight, I believe it's important for us to know that when we endure in the place of waiting in prayer, when we endure in the place of faithfulness in seeking God, when we endure in the place of truly just abandoning ourselves to God, regardless of what we see and what we don't see, as long as we're faithful, there is a reward to a waiting process. There is a reward. So tonight, we want to share about really the fruit, the fruit of the kingdom of God. What is God looking for in our life? What is God after in our life? What is the whole purpose that we are here to achieve? What are we really looking for when it comes to serving God? What is the ultimate expectation we should have that should really give us rest as we wait in the presence of the Lord? So it might be a little bit challenging, it might be a little bit deep, it might be maybe just very simple, but we want to look at something tonight that is important for you to appreciate because of your faithfulness in seeking God, and not worry about or being envious about people you don't really know much about because you just see them prospering or their churches growing or this happening or that happening without really knowing how they get there. So tonight I pray that we'll appreciate God's wisdom in our life as we wait upon him. So I want to read a few scriptures and just allow the Spirit of the Lord to direct us from there. Hallelujah. I want to read from the book of Matthew, from chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6. I'll read from verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's and riches. Therefore I say unto you, take no thoughts for your life, meaning worrying for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than clothes, raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, by worrying, can add one cubic unto your stature? And why take you thought? Why do you worry for clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, to the fire, shall not he not much more clothe you? He says, O ye of little faith. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, meaning worry not, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For verse 32 says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33. But here is a prescription the Lord gave. But seek ye first. First, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought, worry not for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, I will skip all the other things that he said and come to chapter 7, Matthew 7, verse 15. Then I'll read down from there. It says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth an evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree, this is an amazing revelation, Matthew 7:19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works, miracles. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that walk iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these words, these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded, it was built upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Father, open our eyes, O God. Give us understanding, O God. Open our ears. Give us understanding, Father. Thank you. Reveal Jesus to us, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you spend this time in prayer, on these altars, when you are seeking and you're praying, and there's sometimes many people who say, why do you pray so much? Why do you fast? Why do you do all the things you do? Let these words encourage you, because the sacrifice of obedience you're giving is producing something. Jesus, of course, is the word that became flesh, is the perfection of the will of God. And here, speaking as an oracle of the Father, was revealing the kingdom of God. Knowing that we are humans, knowing that we live from in a fallen world, when he came, the world is, you know, from Adam we've fallen, knowing everything. There's one revelation that he was sharing here. If you fast forward to that Matthew 6, when he said, but seek you first the kingdom and his righteousness. Before God could tell us, give us a solution, a prescription for kingdom fruitfulness and success, he made it abundantly clear that God knows our need. He says, the God that we serve, the Heavenly Father, he says, is not ignorant of our physical need. He's not ignorant of our soulish need. He is God. He says he's not ignorant of any of this. But he knows the deception we are living in as long as we're in this world because of the fallen nature. So, he said, there is a deception that we have attained from the fall of man. And that deception, he said, drives the world. That deception drives the people of the world. He says, for all, after these things do the Gentiles seek. And what does that mean? He says, there is a deception that is in the mindset, the culture, the worldview from the fall of man, that God does not care about our physical need. And the reason for that is because the world pursues material things, pursues fleshly things, the things that feed our pride, the things that feed our our flesh, the things that will meet our physical need, they pursue it with their whole life. They seek for it. They live for it. They give themselves to it completely. And so they seek for it. And in other words, if you watch the statement Jesus started making, he says, you cannot serve two masters, where I started. Basically, the world's master is the pursuit for material satisfaction, fleshly satisfaction. And that's the programming of Satan from the fall of man. And so the world pursues wealth, they pursue fame, they pursue power, they pursue anything that can satisfy the flesh. And they give their whole life to it. And by doing so, the world stays under the blindness and under the rulership of this world. So when Jesus came, he wanted to break down that lie that God does not care about our physical need. Because sometimes you hear people say, can't you do something practical? Can't you be practical with your life? See, especially when you're pursuing the things of God. So here, Jesus first started trying to break that lie down and saying, why are you worrying about clothes? Why are you worrying about food? Why are you worrying about, of course, houses? Name all these things that we all need, that the world needed. Say, why are you worrying about these things? And he used the example of birds and grass and all this stuff, saying that if God cares about these things that are trash, about trees and flowers and fruits, if God cares about them, he said, why do you think you, that is made in the image of God, God doesn't care about you? He says, it's a lie. It's a lie because the world, this is what they pursue. But here is the secret. He says, the secret of spiritual and physical success is to make your priority the pursuit of the kingdom of God. A desire to know the kingdom, its righteousness, and the things of God. He says, when we prioritize our life purposely to seek the will of God, to seek the things of the kingdom, to pursue the heart of God, he says, when we prioritize our lives that way, he says, God, who knows what we need, will add these things, will give us all these things that the Gentiles are seeking. Why is Jesus giving us this principle? Because already from our fallen human nature, the moment we as believers, the moment we get born again, of course he's speaking to believers here, the moment we get born again, if we don't prioritize seeking the kingdom and its righteousness, seeking what the will of God is for us, we will not know that we're backsliding, being in church. We will continue to prioritize our life towards material things. And it says then there will not be a meaningful kingdom impartation or transformation in our lives. And then what happens is we will be in church, we will be anointed, we will be empowered to serve God, to do the things of God, but our character will not change. So our character will not change, and then we will not bear the fruit that God really needs for us to have, which is the fruit of His Spirit. And I'll read that later. So then in Matthew 7, because he continued from 6 and goes all the way down. So when you go to Matthew 7, he begins to explain how when we lose focus for prioritizing kingdom values, kingdom principles in a corrupt generation. We came out of the world. We are to seek the world, the kingdom that brought us out of the world. But if we don't prioritize that, we don't make it first thing, we don't make it our focus. He said, what happened is deception will set in without us knowing it. And here is how the deception works. He started explaining it later towards the middle and end of chapter 7. It says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing. Okay, sheep clothing meaning they are in church. They speak the language of Christianity. We are in church. We speak in tongues. We do all these things. We're in church. We are anointed. Meaning sheep clothing is somebody that has every appearance of a Christian. And every appearance of the prophet means he can do miracles, he can do signs. He said, but inwardly, inside, there is no character transformation. There is no change. Why? Because if you don't prioritize seeking the kingdom to understand the righteousness that God is looking for. Righteousness means to come into understanding of the characteristics of the kingdom of God. You will not have anything to compare your attitude and your life with. And then you don't have anything to challenge you towards the change of character. So if there's no change of character, he says, we can have the sheep clothing, meaning we are in church, but we came out of the world, but our character, while we were in the world and now we are in church, nothing has changed it. We just change our place. We just change our, we change our clothing outwardly, but we have not changed internally. So it says, beware of false prophets that come to you with sheep clothing, but inwardly there is no change. They are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruit. And then he started giving example using trees. Using plant, it says, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree. So he started comparing two trees. Say, for example, can an orange tree produce an apple fruit? Or can an apple tree produce an orange fruit? So he's giving an example. He says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. What is he saying here? God is using a physical example. He's saying, if a farmer plants a seed in the ground, and that seed is apple, he says when that seed grows up, it goes through the stages already very soon. But the ultimate expectation of the farmer, the ultimate reason for which that seed was planted was to duplicate itself. An apple seed eventually becomes an apple tree. But the only thing that validates that tree to be an apple tree eventually is to produce an apple fruit. So the fruit is what tells you what manner of tree that is. So he's saying, it's not the miracles. It's not the things that we do. It's not speaking in tongues, like it says in 1 Corinthians. It's not the gifts. It's not all these signs and wonders. He says the ultimate thing God is looking for is, do you have the character of that tree? Does your character represent the character of that tree? So basically, God is saying, if the characteristics or the righteousness of the kingdom is not reflected in the character that we exemplify, then there is a need for us to truly seek God for in that area. Or else, he's saying, if you are not seeking the kingdom or prioritize it, how do you know the righteousness of the kingdom? How do you evaluate the fruit of your righteousness? So, it says, the world seek all these things that does not change who they are on the inside. All it does is who they are on the outside. They build their whole life. And it says, you can't serve two masters. They have made material things their master. It says, we cannot make this world our master, and the things of this world our master, and at the same time make God our master. We can only serve one. And he says, if God is the one that is our master, then the kingdom of God is the priority of our desire. And the righteousness then will begin to manifest. So then he started explaining in plain terms. He said, after he used the trees as an example, he says, okay, let me just put it this way. For example, if the kingdom of God is an apple tree and God wants an apple fruit out of our life, he says, if your life is producing an orange, he says, you better watch it. Because if the fruits does not match, even though there's miracle, even though they're speaking in tongues, if the fruit does not match with the tree, he says, that tree eventually will be cut down because it's not producing the fruit that is required. So God is after fruit. Then he goes further to explain the seriousness of having the righteousness of the kingdom of God, the seriousness of having the characteristics of the kingdom of God. He says, because a day is coming that everybody is going to stand before God. He says, then it's already too late. Because in that particular time, he says, many will come and say on that day, Lord, Lord, we did all these wonderful things for you. We did all these great things. We did miracles. We did wonders. Of course, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, we prayed in tongues. And, you know, he says, we did all these things. Say, but without love, we are nothing. And here Jesus says, he will say to us, to whomever, all these things. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because he says, not everyone that will say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. See, if you don't seek a kingdom to know his character and his purpose, he says, we cannot enter something we don't seek and we don't know. Something you have not made a priority, how can you go there? How can you end up there? He said, but when you seek first the kingdom and you make it a priority, definitely that's where you're going to end up, because the fruit will speak of itself. So then he says, here is an example of how practically this works. He says, not those who hear the words of the kingdom alone shall enter. He said, but those who practice it, those who make it a priority to do the things that will cause their character to change, to bear this fruit, those are the ones. So then he gave a practical example about the wisdom behind knowing if you're doing this or not. Then he gave an example of builder. He's used trees, he's used everything. Now he's talking about building a house. He says, those who truly practice the kingdom, prioritize the kingdom, and do it. He said, this is what happens. He says, unknown to them, see, they have built their house upon a rock. They have dug deep and built their house upon a rock. He says, the storm will come, the rain will come, and beat upon the house, it will not fall. But he says, those who have not practiced or prioritized seeking and the righteousness of the kingdom and doing it, he said, they will be like those who build their house upon the sand, and the storm came and took them away. What is he saying? If you look at the context of this whole thing, Jesus is saying all the way from Matthew 5, 6, 7, he's concluding here by saying this, like what we said last week. Paul said the same thing in Galatians chapter 4. He said, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Okay, Jesus is talking about builder here. Here is the problem. He's saying there are people who wants to make Christianity a fast food mentality. They want everything fast. So, and then what they do is they don't take time to seek the kingdom, understand his attributes, so that they can allow God through time to transform their life, so that their inner man, their character, is being transformed into that same image of Christ. He says, when we practice how we when we do the word of God and wait upon God and practice, he said, when he said we're building on a rock, means that when we wait like you're waiting, when you pray like you're praying, you're going through trials, you're standing on God's word. You're looking for God's promises. It looks like nothing is happening. You're standing on God's word. We've gone through several teachings in the area of men and women that waited on things of God. They did not see it on time, but eventually they saw the fruit of it. So he is saying they begin to look beyond the flesh. They begin to look beyond, okay, God, if I don't have clothes, does that change you? If I don't have house, does that change you? If I don't have children? They look at all the material things and say, none of these material things will cause me to deviate from my confidence in your word, in your promise. So they go through trials, but they are standing on the word of God. They go through things, they don't walk by sight. They are seeking God, they are praying, but the things they are waiting for physically, they are not seeing sometimes, but they are waiting. They are trusting. God says they are digging deep. They are building their life on the foundation of the word of God. He said the storm will come. What is storm? What is meaning? All the things that sometimes you see other people have, all the things you see them seeking and glorying in, sometimes you're challenged by the storm. You're worried by what you don't have here, what you don't have there, and other people have it. Those are storms, but they shake, but you still put your faith in the word. You still put your hope in the word. You still wait. What is God doing? God is transforming your character on the inside. He's causing you to build your confidence on the infallible word of God, regardless of what you see. God says there comes a time when, if you have now built your life upon his word, and now the fruit is now showing, he says God will add even all these things that people are seeking after, that makes them forget God, that make them give excuses, all these things that take away all their time. They are living and seeking. He says, God says, when that fruit, that character is being found in you, that your confidence is now being tested, you've been tried, but you have never deviated. You're still saying, God, no matter what, no matter what, I will seek you, I will wait, I will pray, I will. He says, then eventually, God will just surprise you. All these things will start being added to you. They will start being added to you, even when you least expect it. He said, but the people who don't, they are not patient. They look so much success in the flesh. So they build their life completely on material things. Their whole Christian life is, I must have this, I must have that. Sometimes they will go to any length to have anointing or to have money or to, they will manipulate, they will do everything just to have worldly success. So all their confidence is built on something that does not have an internal foundation. So when storms come, things happen, they lose all these things and they have nowhere to stand. But the worst is not losing the material things in the times of trial. The worst is there is no fruit of the kingdom in their life. And if they stand before God, there is nothing to show. They are still the same character before they got saved. It's the same character they have while they are in church. And God says, if you don't have the fruit of righteousness, then I never knew you. There is no change in your character, meaning the kingdom of God did not influence you. You came out of the world, you're in the church, all you changed was just your clothing, but your heart was not changed. So I never knew you. So I want to read one more scripture here, just to show that what God is looking for, reading the tree again, is character, is fruit of righteousness. It's all that God is looking for. And he said, God is saying, I care about your natural needs. If I can care for little leaves and trees and buds, don't let anybody make you think because you're praying, because you're fasting, because you're prioritizing, that I don't care about you. You know, I care about you. I care about you. if I would care for the lilies of the valley or the buds. I care about your physical needs. But I want to make sure that you make the kingdom of God a priority. Now, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus gave this parable. Because, my brothers and sisters, let me tell you why I'm sharing this. Jesus himself says, in the last days, in Matthew 24, the biggest thing he says, let no man deceive you. And then he went all through the signs of the last days. The focus on false prophets is so massive. It's almost like something that is raining now, you know, in our generation. Everybody is seeking for power. Everybody is seeking for anointing. Everybody is seeking for miraculous expressions. But most people don't want to check the fruit to see if the fruit of these people matches what God is asking for. If money is their ultimate game, is manipulating women, or if they are women manipulating men, what is their ultimate, or is it power or fame or recognition or influence? What are they portraying? Is there humility? Are they humble? Are they broken? Are they making others better? Or are they just seeking to build themselves continuously? What is the example that Jesus gave? Is it a character? So there is so much deception. Like the Bible says, even the elect might be carried away. There is a flood of deception right now flooding the body of Christ. And people don't ask, is there character to really match what this anointing is? Because power, miracles are very deceptive because it appeals to the flesh. That's why Jesus says an evil and a corrupt generation seek after signs and wonders. There is nothing wrong with signs and wonders. There's nothing wrong with miracles. That's God provides that. But also Satan can do miracles. Demons can do miracles. So God is just trying to say, make sure the miracle you're seeking, make sure the wonders you're seeking, make sure the character matches the spirit that is doing it. Is it the fruit of the spirit in the people that matches what they are doing? Because the deception is growing, and faithful, loving Christians are becoming gullible because they are tired of waiting for breakthrough. And then they are forced to compromise and not watch and test spirits before they give themselves over. And now the testimony all across the world is a frightening situation. But I know that God is about to humiliate, expose some of these evil workers, the Bible calls them, and really expose them for who they are and deliver God's children from the deception that is flooding this world. So I want to read this Mark chapter 4 so you can see again what Jesus is looking for. Here is a very small parable Jesus gave, but very profound. In Mark chapter 4, verse 26, it says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man shall sow seed in the ground, and shall sleep and rise night and day, and the seed shall spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, when it's ripe, when you know the fruit, when it's ripe, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest is come. What is Jesus saying? God is saying to every one of us that as servants of God, as children of God, that God has appointed times and seasons in our life, that God is not unrighteous to forget our labor of love. That whatever we sow, we are going to see reward. But there are seasons that we should not faint before our harvest, or we should not compromise before our harvest. What is he saying with this parable here? He says, at the end, This man that planted, waited. He waited and watched the seed in the soil. He will sleep, he will wait. Later the seed will produce the blades, then the ear. He will wait. He's not seeing what he's waiting for, he wait. Then later the fruit will come. He will wait. Then the thing will be ripe. That ripe time he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So God is saying, every one of us on this line, everything we are doing to serve God, there is a reward. But he says we should wait for the seasons of reward. We should be patient to wait until that which we have sown, depend on what we're expecting, to bring forth his fruit in a season. But when we don't wait, he says we are beginning to be like those that build their house on the flesh, you know, not wait, and then we don't wait for the time of harvest, and then we miss the time of our harvest, the time of our reward. That's why Paul says in Galatians 4, we should not be deceived. Be not mocked that God is, you know, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So my brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage us. It's impossible for you to miss your reward. There is nothing you do that God will not reward. But the key is to wait for that season to come, and the reward will come. Even the things that we don't expect, God says he will do exceedingly abundantly beyond our expectation if we wait for the harvest time. There is a deception, and that deception is, let us just pursue material things. Let's have material things. Let's have all these things without character. And you cannot get character of God through fast food. There's no way. The kingdom of God has no fast food character. You have to go through a process of waiting, of seeking, and through the things that, through trials, through the various ways that God transforms our character and puts the character of God in us. In this last story I read, it says the farmer was waiting for the fruit. And when the fruit came, the harvest has come. What is the fruit? The character. My brothers and sisters, to conclude, God is saying to all of us, God has blessings beyond our comprehension, but can our character handle it? If you really want to experience the perfect, the amazing blessings of God, look at all the people in the Bible. The people God used the greatest, the people God blessed the most, were people who God tried and purified after many years, and saw that their character was solid enough that they will not merchandise the blessing, they will not sell the anointing, and they will not abuse people with it. And their character, when it's tested, they will not be found wanting when the storm comes. So I believe that that's what God has been doing with all of us, and God is preparing us for such a glorious outpouring of his blessing. But God wanted to make sure he finds people whose character matches the righteousness, the character of the kingdom of God. That our fruit, at the end, what is more important to God is when we stand before him, we are not cast away. We are not lost. Paul says, after I have ministered to everybody, I myself will not be a castaway. There is nothing more important for us than to be totally ripe for heaven. Amen? And in spite of everything, to be ripe for heaven. So that's the inspiration and the encouragement I believe God wants to share with us tonight, to say, let's not be weary in our faithfulness, in our well-doing, knowing that God is working his character in us. Even when we don't see the material things, God says, I will add, I will bring, I will do the miracles. But don't be hasty for miracle and run into the hands of ravening wolves, anointing that you don't know where they are from. Miracles you don't know how they come about. There's testimony of abuses all over the place today because we don't test the character of these people. We are desperate to see the fleshly needs we have be overcome. No, God is saying, I know where you are. I know your need. I know what you're going through. Just wait upon me. Trust me. When your harvest time comes, when your character has been tested and found in any particular area, I will reward you. I will bless you. I will do miracles in your life. There are things I wasn't personally seeking for, but God knew I needed it. But I was focusing completely on the kingdom, and God turned around and gave me something I wasn't even expecting. That is his best. So the same way God tested me a lot with money, and I just kept saying, God, no, that's not what I want. I turned off, and then God would turn around and begin to take care of you. The same way, just the things the world are seeking as their priority, God says that should not be our priority. The kingdom of God should be our priority. Why am I sharing this? That is exactly what you're doing. That's exactly where your heart is. So be encouraged to stay that way. Don't envy the wicked. Don't envy people that you don't even know how they come about. The increase of their churches, the increase of their wealth. Just wait and see how God will surprise you. Wait and see what God will do. And he's about to do it. We're in that season that God is about to turn our captivity and reward us in ways that we cannot even imagine that he has planned for us to inherit. So be encouraged tonight that no matter what, the most important thing God is looking for in your life is that patience, is that long-suffering, is that peace, is that joy, is that goodness, is that faithfulness, is that temperance, is that gentleness, is that fruit of the Spirit. When you have those, you really have the Spirit of truth in you. And when God anoints you, people will know that anointing is of the true Spirit of God. Amen. Father, I thank you. You have said in the last days, many false prophets will rise. Many will come in your name, and they will do all kinds of things to mislead so many and hurt so many. Father, I thank you that in these days, that you, O God, will cause our eyes to be set on you, on your word, on your ways, on your character. We just want this godly character, priceless, more than anything else. We want to be like you. So help us to keep our eyes on you, to wait up, because we know in due season you will reward us with every material blessings when we can handle it. To you be all the glory. Thank you so much for sharing with us tonight, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.